awareness, a different one, not a strong one. It's not the power of the lion, it's not the cleverness and wit of vizier and things like that. It's a small rabbit, but he knows the trick. What is the trick? What was the trick rabbit knew and you don't? Let's go back. What is the story? The story we're talking about, the story of the animal, is talking about what? Doing your best, or having faith, or going in between, or what, right? He started and said, no, it's not like that, don't fool yourself. You believe in the power of the lion, and you're seeking an exception to do something with the power, right? That's what the problem is. This little rabbit is powerless. So where's the hope? Nothing. The rabbit doesn't have an extra power somewhere here and there. Like some of the stories will give the rabbit a magical power to run away. Here he doesn't have that. He's counting on the lion. He's counting on the shortcoming of the power. This is the knowledge of the rabbit. He knows that, okay, the powerful one means, what it means if I say this is the most powerful part of the system. Anyone? This is basic in system analysis.
Vulnerable.
The most vulnerable one. If it is the most powerful one, is the most vulnerable one. First of all, this is the target of all enemies. So do not count on the powerful part of yourself. Because that powerful part of yourself is the most vulnerable one. Because let's go back to the feelings. What is the vulnerability of the lion? What is the vulnerability of you? Yes, vanity, jealousy, envy, all that. The lion is so jealous that trick the jealousy, the lion will jump in the world. That's the trick. Of course you have a powerful part of you. But that powerful part of you is that me, and always me, and what's in it for me. Because the only powerful one will say me. The rabbit will not say me alone. The lion will come out and say yes. When you're looking at your life, your powerful part plays the role of being me. When they ask you, who are you? But what's your answer when somebody asks, who are you? Have you ever started to say, lack of confidence, shortcoming? You don't go for shortcoming. You go to the powerful one, I'm this, I'm that. Yeah, but you're both. Guess what? If you know both, you work with them. If you think you are the powerful one and you try to hide the shortcoming even from yourself, then you will be confused. Because the power has some vulnerability. Always. Because they go hand in hand. So you're counting on the lion of yourself? Guess what? The rabbit could get rid of that lion of you. You know when you address that lion stuff? When you want to change and you will find all those resistance to change, which is me, and you appreciate it in a way, and that's the lion. Self-believer, the one who knows the power works. Of course power works. Is there anyone here who doubts the force of the power? Of course power works,
sometime, in some place, in some different place, the power will not work. Because the power has vulnerabilities. Look at the power of convincing. Imagine somebody who could convince everyone. He was born gifted. This gifted fellow will become a lawyer. Because everybody will push him that way. He could convince everyone to become a lawyer or a judge or a thing like that. So he will increase this potentiality. Where it doesn't work, that convincing everyone. When it comes to convincing himself or herself, suddenly it doesn't work. Because he knows the trick. He knows that he's tricking. So confusion will settle down. Everything works in one place. Nothing works always. This idea in your mind that power works always is not the case. He talked about it. The rabbi talked about it. You remember? He said, oh, listen. Give me a chance, because there is another way. Another way that no animal ever experienced, but we did. That the spiritual meaning, prophecy, prophets. You see? Oh, look at the prophets. What is the story of the prophets? Prophet is a single person. There has never been a team of prophets. There is one God. We'll come out and say, okay, God talked to me. Then what will happen? One God will lead a lot of people to a different state of mind. Wow. Logically, it's not gainable. It's not imaginable. If it was, all the politicians will pass the course and will know how to do it. It doesn't happen that way. Why? Because it's not about being powerful outside. It's about having a very special vision. You remember how important vision is here to us. Rumi will repeat it again and again, that it's about vision. It's about how you see the things. You know why you're not that happy? Because you don't see it clearly. The enlightened fellows, they see clear. And you know how they do it. They all told you, I have never seen one of these guys, and I spent quite a good long time to study different way and different paths of enlightenment, and none of them never ever gave me a prescription for a reading glass to be able to read this stuff. They all talked about taking your glass off. Rumi will repeat it several times. At the end of this book, several times he will come back to it and say, you look around and you see the universe miserable because you have a special glass on your eyes. Take it off. Get rid of the color and experience colorlessness. This is his word. He created this word in Persian. Before that, nobody talked about colorlessness in the poetry. He did. He even said, when the colorlessness was trapped by the color, Moses and Moses will fight. If you get rid of that, then Moses and Pharaoh
work together. This is how it is.
And that special glass you have is what?
What is the major filter for your vision?
Your attitudes.
Me, me, me.
Me.
Self.
You think about you and you only at the center of the universe. So take this off. Then you will see a peaceful universe. But when you put that on, the universe is fighting you. He explained all of this with the excuse of the rabbit. Rabbit started with something else. He said, listen, it's more than thinking. There is some other places. There are some other thoughts which nobody could include it in thinking. We put it aside somewhere else. For example, what was Michelangelo thinking when he was making David? He was not thinking. He had a feeling. And that feeling was, you know what the feeling was for this guy when he was making this statue? Why he chose David? He chose a very special moment of David. Is a very critical moment in the life of David. That's what that statue is all about. If you don't know that, okay, it's a statue. It's beautiful. It's beautiful mainly because everybody says this is beautiful. And none of you dare to say no. Because if you say it's not beautiful, they'll say, you don't have a taste, get out of here. That's how art works. But he had some special moment. There is a very special moment, a critical moment. David has to go to war. And he doesn't want to. So he's confused. To do the duty or not. So he is in a special position of turning. But he hasn't turned yet. One hand is hanging, the other one has a towel, and he's turning around, but not with full force, because he wants to go to a war that he doesn't want to. This is the feeling in Michelangelo. He has to do something, so he has extra big hands. The hands are exaggerated. But he doesn't want to rely upon his personal effort. And all of that feeling came to Michelangelo how? That is the good question. That is the source of other knowledge, which is inspiration. What is inspiration? We don't know. Only the exceptional people who has it, they explain it to us. They say, it's like somebody is talking to you. Somebody will put some thought in your mind. Suddenly it's there. It was not there. And guess what? We all experience it. A few people experience it as an artist. The rest of us, we experience it as connoisseur of art. When we understand art, somehow some feeling will be transferred that we don't know what it is. When you're looking at a piece of art, you don't know what you're understanding, what you're looking at, but you know that a strange feeling is there. If the statue is a little bit difficult to imagine, when you want to imagine this, go to music. When you're listening to a good piece of music, what's happening in you? You don't know, but magically something is changing you. Because some melody intentionally is made for that. You will find the same feeling almost, if you're close enough, if you're a good connoisseur, you will have the same feeling that the composer had. When you're listening to Requiem,
What do you feel?